The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome, TSV family, to the 27th episode of your favorite podcast, the Spoken Verity Podcast, where we speak the truth, which is the Word of God, in love, with the help of the Holy Spirit. I am Remy Eko, and I'll be leading today's episode. I am so excited to be having these conversations with two of the most amazing people on the planet, my brothers and co-hosts of the Spoken Verity Podcast, Otto Medina Jr. and Wiley Harris III. Blessings, my brothers.
Hello, brother.
How's it going, Chief?
Thank you for that compliment, Remy.
Absolutely. You're welcome. It is the truth. We speak the truth, right? This is TSV after all.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes. Amen. It is honestly a great honor and privilege that our sovereign God has in his grace and mercy called us to his project for such a time as this. So let us thank him and commit this episode into his hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, as I just stated, for trusting us with this project. In of ourselves, we can do it, but it is you. It is you that keeps on refreshing us with your revelation. It is your word that we come gathering to speak, more of you, less of us. And we have come again, Lord God, for this 27th episode. You've brought us all the way from the first, from episode zero, until now the 27th episode, the second season of your project. We thank you. We're grateful. We now submit our faculties to you. Speak through our vocal cords. Use our brain. Use everything that is of us. We bring it before you as an offering now. We pray for those that are listening that you would give them understanding, that your spirit will take our words, our clear words, and use it as you deem it so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we family, I know you are excited as we are to hear what the Lord has placed in our hearts for today's episode. But before we jump into that, I'm going to ask my brother, Otto Medina Jr., a.k.a. Denzel, a.k.a. Wakanda, to give us a recap of episode 26 for our listeners who may have missed that episode.
Thank you, brother. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
To recap what we talked about it's time for us to stop being cowards. It's time for us to step up our game. We've got to be able to walk in the purpose God has us with a Joshua spirit and always remembering that we should walk in the power and in love and in sound mind, as scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:7. We can't allow difficult circumstances to dictate how we see things or how we behave under pressure. Instead, we should exemplify who we are as men and women of God.
Hmm.
Essentially, that's what we talked about. I really encourage people to listen to this episode as well as all other episodes. And I believe it will bless you and encourage you.
Amen. And just as my brother said, you can get our podcast wherever you consume podcasts and also on our website, thespokenverity.fm. We would also like to hear from you. So we have a contact us page and you can reach us on social media as well. Brothers and sisters, there is an ongoing civil war taking place within every believer. The origin of this battle predates us, TSV family. It goes back all the way to Satan being cast out of heaven. Until this very minute now, this battle continues to cause extensive damage to millions of believers on a daily basis. I am talking about the battle between the spirit and the flesh. The pulling from two very distinct perspectives with contrasting goals. Here's how Apostle Paul, being led by Holy Spirit, describes this battle in his letter to the church in Galatia, found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh desires what is against the spirit, and the spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. Again, in his letter to the Roman church, chapter 7 and verse 18, Apostle Paul says this, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do." As instructed by Holy Spirit, we, the host of your favorite podcast, will be focusing on the battle within the believer in this episode of TSV. As is our usual style at TSV and the structure for our episodes, we will be examining this topic in three segments. Firstly, what is the role of a believer in this ongoing battle between the spirit and the flesh? Then our second segment will focus on why is it important for believers in Jesus Christ to always walk by the Spirit. Finally, to wrap up our time together, my beloved brothers and I will share how we as believers in Jesus Christ crucify the flesh. Now let's get into it. In my opening monologue, I referenced two passages of scripture that focus on the battle between the spirit versus the flesh. And there are other passages of scripture that does this as well. We find one again in Romans 8, beginning from the fifth verse. "For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit about the things of the spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God, because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." The mindset of flesh is hostile to God and is unable to submit to God's law, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those are some very stern words, brothers and sisters. I want to quickly interject here, though, that most times, not always, but most times, flesh in the Bible doesn't simply indicate just our physical parts, but can also be used to reference to the ego, the part of our soul which always tries to satisfy us with worldly things. We've established that there is an ongoing battle taking place within the believer. But what should the believer be doing? What is the place and function of the believer in this battle? That brings us to our first question today. I'm going to go to my brother, the Reverend, as I transfer the mic to him. Brother Wally, help our listeners understand, what is the role of a believer in the battle between the spirit and the flesh?
Thank you, brother. I appreciate how you set the communion table in terms of opening this question of the ongoing battle. And it is that. It is something that we as believers in Jesus Christ have to pay attention to, because it's something that may be happening in our face or could be happening in the background just because of what is going on in this natural realm, things that we are not always paying much attention to. But we have to remember that we have the victory, that the flesh does not have a place in our lives unless we give it to him. And when I say him, I'm meaning the enemy using your flesh, the natural five senses, in order to get to your spirit, to get you to fear, to get you to focus on things that are outside of the will of God. And your spirit man, who is who you actually are can be weakened if you continue to yield to the flesh. And we'll have that conversation here in a moment. So to answer your question, though, I am going to focus on Galatians 5 like you did, but I'm going to read 16 through 26. And the reason why I'm doing that is because it's going to set up the other pieces of the second and third stanza that I know we're going to engage in later. The first verse in this passage of scriptures immediately answers your question. Verse 16, it says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So there you go. Walking in the Spirit is a part of this. And we're going to talk about what that means here in a moment. "For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, notice he said the works of the flesh are manifest. Mm-hmm. You still have to do it. It's there, mm-hmm. but you have to engage. Mm-hmm. So just because it's in the capability of your flesh to do these things doesn't mean you have to engage. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So as I mentioned earlier, this set of scriptures first tells you how to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You do that by walking in the Spirit. Holy Spirit through Paul then informs the reader that there is a war going on between your reborn spirit and your flesh, which is the body that we live in that is connected to this natural sin world we were born into. I know we talked about that a little bit. So don't concern yourself with it. The war is there. It's going to happen. We were born in sin. Adam made that happen. It wasn't Eve, and we'll have that conversation later. Adam did it. Remember, when Eve sinned, they were still naked. Mm-hmm. When he ate, he cemented the sin and brought death in. You can also have fleshly mindsets that hearken you back to where you were first delivered when you received Jesus Christ. Remember, TSV family, we are spirit first. We have to have a flesh and blood body to operate legally in the earth. Then Paul identifies the works of the flesh and tells you what happens to those who allow these works to manifest in their lives. Now, remember, this means lifestyle. Not event. Mm-hmm. So this is not how you are living as a believer. If you're operating like this, you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, meaning this is your lifestyle, not mistake, lifestyle. That being said, remember, God knows your heart. Don't deceive yourself in this area, thinking that you are not this way when you've operated in a lifestyle of it. Paul then tells you what walking in the Spirit looks like for the believer in Jesus Christ and how you purposefully execute this spiritual directive. Your role as a believer in Jesus Christ in the battle between spirit and the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? You start by crucifying the flesh with the affections and lusts, as it says in verse 24. You do this daily. hourly even, depending upon where you are, not just on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever you decide to come to church.
Come on.
One way to crucify your flesh is to realize that you are not in control and that you need a savior, one who will lead and guide you by his spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This leading of the Spirit into sonship comes from relationship, with intimacy, with time spent with Holy Spirit, listening for his voice to lead you in every area of your life. This is willful daily acts on the part of a believer and must be constantly observed and monitored so as to not allow the enemy in as you continue to strengthen your spirit. Brother, I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the importance of walking in the spirit in the second segment.
Thank you so much, brother. I love how the Holy Spirit led you to, right off the back, talking about this is something that could be in our face, but also in the background, right? It could be something that he has brought to our attention, but we continue not to pay attention to it. We keep pushing it down. Like, yeah. And then after a while, somehow we just assume that, oh, I've overcome this, and not knowing that it's something that has not been dealt with. And another point that you brought up, we as believers engage, which makes it the work of the flesh. It's there, but we go in reaching and then bring it and manifest it. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that contribution. Wakanda.
That would be me.
Please jump on the mic now, brother, and add to the conversation. What is the role of a believer in the battle between the spirit and the flesh?
Amen. First, I want to say that that was the verse that I really wanted to come out of, but Wally did such an exceptional job there. I don't want to be redundant. But Galatians 5, that was perfect right there. And so I also had in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. But for context, I'll start at 25. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to carefully observe my ordinances. In the Psalms, in Psalm 51:10, scripture says, where King David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen. Amen.
And then in John chapter 3, verse 5, well, actually, let's go in verse 3. It says, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. What he says. And in verse 5, skipping, truly, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the spirit. So he added a little more there. What does all that have to do with anything? First is understanding the importance of renewing and the redemption that takes place when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay. So as a role between the spirit and the flesh, it, of course, you naturally don't want to do the things of God naturally. But supernaturally, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And that's why it's so important to understand about the renewing of the mind, the redemption, our position in Christ. I guess I'll continue to harp on that because I believe that as believers, if we could just get the foundational stuff down, then you can move on into the rest. It becomes easier for you as you start embracing this lifestyle of Christianity, if you will. But we complicate things. And we just want to operate from the flesh when we shouldn't be anymore. It should have been put in the grave already. I like using the example of when a person is in a coffin that's dead. Well, that person is not able to come back from that coffin, unless, of course, the divine intervention of God and says, mm-hmm. you know, rise and walk, mm-hmm. And which is, I mean, possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we can't walk in old ways. The old man is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Let it die. It's crucified. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says.
Amen.
So that's the best way I could answer your question without trying to sound redundant and repeating what Wiley said.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I appreciate how you expanded on the idea of us totally understanding our authority, understanding our position in Christ, who we are in Christ, and understanding what he has done for us. My brothers and I are focusing on the spirit versus the flesh, the battle within the believer. I'm going to add just a little bit here to what my brothers have already eloquently stated. My brother, the Reverend Brother Wiley, read Galatians chapter 5, starting from the 16th verse all the way to the 26th verse, which happens to be the foundational scripture that was given to me for this episode. In doing that, he touched on verse 22, of course, but the fruit of the Spirit, like, and then went to list all that. Now, if we think just without, this is something that I'll say probably a five-year-old or a six-year-old can understand. It says fruit, which means there is a tree somewhere, right? If we bring a physical analogy to it, and that tree is bringing fruit. And then if we step back a little bit more, we understand that there is initially a seed somewhere that was planted and is nurtured, where it now becomes a tree and then yields this fruit that has been talked about. So looking at all of this now with that prism of what the role of a believer should be in this battle, it's simple. What you feed will grow.
Hmm.
You said it, brother, about how important it is to have that intimate time to make sure that we stay connected. What we focus on, we bring to life. And that is just one thing that I would advise our listeners to pay attention to. What are you spending your time on? Because if you are deciding to lose weight, you start working out, you start doing everything that leads you that way. If you are deciding to go on a vacation with the family, you start looking for flights. You start thinking of where you're going to stay, accommodation. If you want to make sure that the Spirit has the winning hand in your life, the Spirit has authority. Now this is your life. This is you. That is why I love, as I said, when my brother talked about the part we as individuals and believers play in engaging. Because again, the Spirit is gentle. It's described as a dove. So he's there. But if you open up the door and allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge of your life and you focus on him and pay attention, then we know which way the battle will sway. There is another passage of scripture I want to quickly add here before we switch to the next segment. We've dealt with this in episode 19, focusing on the weapons of our warfare. And if you didn't catch that, please go and listen to it. But that passage is Ephesians 6. And I'll just quickly start from verse 10. I won't read all of it. Reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens." So what is the role of a believer in a battle? Paul just told us when he was writing his letter to the Ephesians, to the church in Ephesus, put on the battle, the full armor, not just pick one today and pick one tomorrow. Have all of it upon you. Hmm. Make sure you walk upon it because it is a battle. How else can it be spelled out? We've watched war movies. Lately, our news is filled with wars and rumors of wars, indicative of the time we live in. We see that in wars, people don't get accolades. People either die or are wounded or are injured. Now, it's up to us to now understand which part are we going to be in this battle? Are we going to be like those that will be decimated? Because our enemy, he may be sly, but he is constantly, the Bible says, roaming, looking for whom to devour. So that's how I would add a little bit to what my brothers have said. I want to quickly point out, though, that the armor doesn't stop the battle. So, I put on the armor and that. No. Mm-hmm. It helps the believer from being defeated. When you put it on, it's just protecting yourself. And then instead of engaging in the works of the flesh, you are now focusing on the things of the spirit by putting on the full armor of God.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers, anything you all want to add to that first segment?
A little bit. I guess we have to make sure that our listeners understand that this battle, we're still operating from a position of victory, from a position of strength. Yeah. Yeah. You cannot be defeated by the flesh unless you give it place.
Yes.
Just because you have the ability to sin doesn't mean you have to sin. And I know that that's a dynamic that most people may or may not believe, but that scripture, you don't have to do these things.
No.
The works of the flesh are manifest.
Yes.
So there is another step in that that requires any person, whether a believer or an unbeliever, to literally engage in these works of your flesh.
Yes.
So you don't have to sin. You choose to sin.
There's
a lot of reasons for that. We'll have some more of that conversation later, but you're not being made to sin. You choose to.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that that's clear for our listeners as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, brother. So listeners, if you're just joining us, we are about to embark into the second segment of episode 27 of TSV, your favorite podcast. And in this segment, we will be discussing why is it important for believers in Jesus Christ to always walk by the Spirit? Because our first segment was focusing on the role of a believer, and the Reverend brought out a verse from the fifth chapter of Galatians, the 16th verse. And I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. One can look at it and say, well, that's it. That's why it's important. When we walk by the Spirit, we certainly will not carry out the desire of the flesh. But I know the Holy Spirit has given my brothers a little bit more than that, because at TSV, we feed meat, as we always like to say. We go deep into the Word of God as God has blessed us with His revelation.
Yeah.
So, amen. I'm going to go to my brother Wakanda. Please get on the mic and lead us off in this second segment. Why is it important for believers in Jesus Christ to walk by the Spirit?
Short version, if you want to be all that God has called you to be, then that's what you have to do. But I'm going to give you the long version.
Thank you.
So, to answer your question, it's essential, it's critical, it's imperative. Because otherwise, what's going to separate you from the non-believer? How is it that we're going to profess to say I'm a Christian and live like the devil? Doesn't make sense. Mm-mm. I guess that's what you call oxymoron. An oxymoron is stemming from the Greek word that escapes me right now, but as we continue, maybe it'll come back to my remembrance. But the definition of oxymoron is sharp, and dull. So in scripture, this is what it says. Romans 12, verse 21. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I like how the Amplified Bible says that particular verse. Do not be overcome and conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. So again, I mean, how else are people going to recognize who we are as Christians? I mean, if we were to go to court, would a jury say to you, I find you guilty of being a Christian? Or would they or will they have to deliberate? And that if there has to be a deliberation, we need to examine ourselves. We should be such an ambassador for Christ that people easily recognize. In fact, such a influence on people that the non-believer that's telling a bad joke at work will stop because you're there. You know, when the car on the freeway cuts you off and pretty much expects you to wave at him, but instead you bless him. You know?
Yeah, a funny wave, right? Not the regular wave. It's special kind of wave is what
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called and that ye shall inherit a blessing.
Amen.
That's the way I can best answer the question, because at the end of the day, we can't profess something. The walk needs to match the talk. Don't talk about it, be about it. And if you've got to keep talking about it, then I think that that's a red flag, because, you know, people should be able to read you. You're the living epistle that should be testifying and a representation of God, and that people will look at you and get a glimpse of him and really, really come away with an encounter with God, if you will. So that's how I answer your question, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I've heard this said, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words, right? Like people just looking at you by the way you live your life. And this cuts across all of it, which is what you're talking about. Not just your Sunday life. We're not talking about your spiritual life, like your Sunday. Okay, it's 9 o'clock. I'm going, I'm going to dress like this. I'm going to say this. 11 o'clock, I'm out. And as you get into the car, all kinds of things are coming out of your mouth. You're speaking all kinds of stuff over your children. Maybe you're raising your hand. While you were, thank you so much for that impactful contribution, my brother. While you were speaking, I was led to this verse in Acts chapter 4. And this is Peter and John. The verse I'm going to is the 13th verse, but I'll start from the 12th verse where they declared this, because it's important. Anytime we have a chance, we'll always say this. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved, right?
Amen.
So, amen, amen, brother. So now we come to verse 13, and the Bible says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. So it is that last phrase, that they had been with Jesus. Like people looking at our lives and saying, yeah, there's something about you. Yeah, you're just like Brother Otto said, in the workplace, you're not just everyone else. You're not the one we come to with certain jokes. There is something different about you, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just stay on the mic for me, the Reverend, and expound on this idea, coming with what the Holy Spirit has deposited in you. Why is it important for believers in Jesus Christ to walk by the Spirit?
Brother, I liken this question to the question, how important is it for you to breathe? Breathing is mandatory for life. Walking in the Spirit is mandatory for you to fulfill God's purpose in the earth. If you think about that analogy, breathing is involuntary and voluntary in the sense that you can make yourself breathe. However, when you are asleep, you don't have the ability to make yourself breathe, or when you are living every day and not thinking about breathing. It's just something that happens. When you practice the Spirit, as I like to call it, you train your spirit to respond to all directives from Holy Spirit to a point where you aren't even thinking about it before you do what he asks. You just do it because that is who you have become. And I said who you've become because this is a process. When you first become a believer in Jesus Christ being led by the Spirit, you now have to renew your mind to get to a point to where these directives become as natural as breathing. Your responses have gone from voluntary to involuntary, in the sense that doing what he says at all times is essential to your very life. Your whole being has been transformed by the renewing of your mind. I know I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I want to reiterate it. Remember that this is an ongoing process. But as your path gets brighter and brighter, you won't have to labor to do what is right. You see, sometimes we get caught up in mid-process and people judge that process from the outside looking in, as opposed to giving people grace and recognizing that we are all having to walk this out. This battle between the spirit and the flesh, we all have to go through it. I don't care who you are. If you've got a pulpit that you are ministering to millions of people by the grace of God, you are still battling with this now. You may be at a different level in the battle. You may even be to where I'm talking about here, to where the directives from Holy Spirit are as essential and as easy to you and as involuntary to you as breathing. And you may be there. However, for those that are not, you are called to help them, to encourage them in that. And that's what we're doing here. You will do it, meaning walking in the Spirit, just because you have been walking in who God's created you to be before the foundations of the world. Remember, as you continue to walk this path, as it gets brighter and brighter, this is a path that's already been created for you. Don't think that you're blazing a trail in and of yourself and doing it without Holy Spirit. You're not. So any successes, any victories that you have, any wins, it comes from Holy Spirit. And even the defeats, so to speak, didn't necessarily come from him, but were directed in your life so that you can learn what the will of God is for your life. No, that's not the way to go. No, this is the way to go. What does it say in Isaiah? You'll hear a word behind your ear saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn from the right hand into the left. This comes from relationship, TSV audience. You have to have a relationship with Holy Spirit when you are walking in the Spirit, executing his direction per scripture.
Come on.
You hear Holy Spirit tell you, or you think you hear Holy Spirit tell you to do something that's contrary to scripture, it's not him. It's a doctrine of a devil, and it's attempting to get you and lead you astray and not allow you to hear what's in scripture and then do what's in scripture. Walking in the Spirit sets aside the works of the flesh. Remember, we talked about this a little bit earlier. You don't have to engage in these works of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you won't choose it. When you allow the fruit of the Spirit of God that's inside of you to manifest in your life, the works of the flesh are not desirous. Let's read what the fruit of the Spirit is again in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Nothing, and let me repeat this, nothing can mute the power of walking with Holy Spirit when you exercise these spiritual attributes in daily application. This is how you stay out of walking and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, by allowing what's already inside of you to rise. Remember, this is an act of your will. When you choose to walk in love, you're choosing to walk in the Spirit. When you choose to let no one steal your peace, you are walking in the Spirit. When you choose meekness, you choose the Spirit of God over the flesh stance of pride. Lastly, walking in the Spirit is relationship with the one who has already determined your life. Again, more reiteration here. He knows all, and he will accomplish all of his purpose, whether in this natural realm or in eternity. You were created for a purpose. The latter part of Isaiah 46:10 is clear as to this verity. Our God says through Isaiah, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." We sometimes mistake in this natural world for the end game. And this is our final stop.
Come on. Come on.
Mark 13:31 says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. If we don't fulfill our earthly purpose, we will have eternity to do so. He created us for a purpose, and he will accomplish that. So don't think that the space and time that you have here, whether it's for 80, 90, 100 years, 120, whatever the case may be, if you didn't fulfill his purpose, you will fulfill it. You have eternity to do so. Mm-hmm. You were created for a purpose. We are all connected within this body. Mm-hmm. The finger has a different perspective than the arm, but it's still a part of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's still a part of your body. Remember that that purpose will be accomplished, whether it's here now or in eternity. Wisdom tells you, let me be led by the Spirit here in humility so that I can help those, not just myself, but help those to come into the kingdom. Let's focus on humility by yielding to the Holy Spirit and walking with him in all things. When we do that, the works of the flesh have no chance.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, my brother. You are so right. So many powerful, impactful verses that you brought up, brother, and exhortation that you gave. I appreciate you as always. Listeners, we're talking about the Spirit versus the flesh, the battle within. My brothers have been led by the Holy Spirit, answered the focus of our second segment here. Why is it important for believers in Jesus Christ to walk by the Spirit? The Reverend said it's as important as breathing. Like, that's the question. Why is it important for you to breathe? Without breathing, you die, right? In real life. So the same thing, without walking by the Spirit, you not only will you be rendered powerless, you won't fulfill any of his promises for your life. And when you look at it from the perspective that we men of God and also women of God listening to us as well, the legacy that is supposed to come from us gets affected as well. Mm-hmm. All of that now. And then we are now transferring the demolition of generational curses to the next generation instead of us fighting that and ending that here and not allowing it cross into our legacy. I'm just going to add a little bit to what my brothers have already shared. When opening, I referenced Romans chapter 8, starting from the fifth verse. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God, because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Like, it's there in black and white. Like, it's there in black and white. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to add to that. It says it right there. I don't want to be hostile towards God. I want to please God. And we are talking here about believers in Jesus Christ. It's a different thing. The question is not, why is it important for unbelievers? No, why is it important for believers in Jesus Christ? But we must die to the flesh daily.
Mm-hmm.
And that is now bringing us closer to our third and final segment for this episode. Again, the Reverend read in the beginning of his contribution to the first segment from Galatians 5, starting from the 16th verse all the way to the 26th. And he touched on another verse there, which says in the 24th verse, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So here it says, they have already crucified the flesh. But the question I'm asking is, how do my brothers, as believers in Jesus Christ, crucify the flesh? Not negating the fact that this is already being done, but as we've been talking about, understanding that, let me pause and come at it from a different angle. It's almost like someone that is ill and knowing that your healing is there, already being provided for you, walking towards it. So that's the angle I want this question to be answered by my brothers. We know that the word says those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I'm asking for practical steps that my brothers may have taken in the past or still undergo now to crucify the flesh. And to kick us off, I'll ask the Reverend to come on the mic and help answer this question.
Okay, so you made the statement in the scripture in terms of the crucifying of the flesh. We know that believers have done that.
Yeah.
So let me answer that. You know how we've done that? We received Jesus Christ. That's the crucifying. Okay? So let me make sure that that's clear. That's the crucifying. But now that it's been done, you still have your part to play. It's just like with the receiving when you need something. I've met your need already.
Yes.
According to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Come on.
So all you have to do is receive it. It's yours. Take it. It's like the free gift of salvation. So the flesh has been crucified when you yield it to Holy Spirit's leading to be saved, to come to Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the crucifying. However, you still have to continue to operate in the crucifixion of the flesh daily, because it will still continue to come up. The enemy still is going to attack you.
Yes.
He's still going to keep coming at you.
Yep.
You're operating from the position of strength, not a position of weakness.
Yes.
You're not the sick attempting to get well. You are the well keeping sickness and disease away from you. It's already yours. Your flesh is already crucified.
Yes.
It's like the enemy. He's already been defeated, but it's not stopping him continue to come against you. So you have to understand these truths, understand these verities to now walk in this. So how do you as a believer in Jesus Christ crucify the flesh? I know I started the answer because you went to that piece in terms of where we are. That's the victory that we already have. And it happened when we received Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This question, though, goes back to what I spoke about in earlier segments today, the first two segments, and then in previous episodes. As I stated, crucifying the flesh is something that we have to do daily, coming from the position of victory that we already have through Jesus Christ. And it sometimes is even hourly, as I mentioned, depending upon where you are walking and where your walk is with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you a practical example here. My wife and I have been together for more than two decades. The things I used to do early in our marriage as a young father and husband that I thought were getting us to flow in the things of the Spirit wound up being fleshly actions that caused fear and division in my home. I so wanted us to operate by the Spirit that I focused on the letter of the law of God concerning a particular situation, as opposed to giving my wife and our children grace when they made mistakes. During this time, Holy Spirit reminded me, and I say reminded me because these are things that were already in me, pulling out of me what was already deposited from years past, from my parents, from my own word study, and him bringing me to these three verses in James 1:19 through 21. And I'm going to read this from the King James. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Come on.
So wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Come this on. Is Holy Spirit leading me here to understand that this is not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So part of crucifying my flesh in these instances was yielding to what Holy Spirit was saying to me. There's another place that you crucify your flesh. You yield when he tells you to yield.
Yeah.
My getting angry wouldn't produce the righteousness of God, his way of doing and being right, that I wanted to operate within my family unit. It was producing the works of the flesh of wrath and strife, and I, as the head of my household, was allowing it. After this reminder from Holy Spirit, I determined, meaning I made a conscious decision to walk in patience and meekness with my wife and my children. This is already in me. I just made a decision to tap into it.
Mom.
Now, that decision has been tested, but I like to say battle tested, because what used to get me to a place where I was out of my love walk and yielding to the flesh became a place where I could recognize the issue and walk away from it or address it as Holy Spirit directs me. This approach keeps strife and anger out. James 3:16 says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work.
Yes.
When you continuously crucify your flesh, you enable yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit to recognize every evil work, every work of the flesh, and not participate in those fleshly actions. Again, you don't have to engage in that. Do not listen to anyone that says, well, I'm human, it just happens. No, you choose and you practice it because you have not listened and adhered to the word of God in those areas. By his grace, I have matured in the faith to a point to where now my flesh, meaning in this instance, my emotional connection to this natural world, understands that I am not yielding to anything that isn't from my God. I hate what God hates. I love what he loves. I engage when he tells me to. I do what he says to do in his word. Not perfectly, but humbly, knowing that I have a part to play in this end time world. Knowing that the choices that I make daily as I walk in the spirit and crucify my flesh affect all that are connected to me, and that those choices are directly tethered to how much of the will of God I will fulfill in this natural world. So let me wrap my answer with this, brother. Part of crucifying your flesh is making sure you have chosen your friends, those who God has said in his word stick closer than a brother, according to the leading of Holy Spirit. Choosing your friends here. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Some believers think that they can keep the same people around them that were there before they were saved, after they've received Jesus Christ. If the people that you have an intimate connection and communion with are not pointing you back to Jesus, not helping you grow spiritually, then you need to cut them off. I don't use the friend term loosely. I can count the number of friends that I have on one hand, two of which are with me virtually right now. Scripture tells us not to be deceived, specifically in this area of who we associate with. Brother, crucifying the flesh is a daily enterprise and is a willful act of the believer in Jesus Christ. Doing so will allow you to be the man of God described in 2 Timothy 3:17, where it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I am a living testament of that scripture. I thank God for his grace.
Amen. I thank God for his grace for you, my brother. Thank you so much. That was good. That's one of the primary areas the enemy comes to, our love walk. And for us as married men, head of household, that's that point between us and our spouses and the children. And I had to take a similar walk in understanding that, okay, you are head of a household, so you set the tone in how you address a lot of this. Me and you talked offline about how we unknowingly leave the door open for, mm-hmm. for things to come in. And but when we realize that I've let this door open, we like, get out. I'm going to kick you out. Yeah,
that's right.
I forgot to lock the door, so you came in, but get out. You're out. That's just, thank you so much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to switch to Denzel. Come on now, brother, and help our global audience share how you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, crucified the flesh.
Yes, sir. So to answer your question, I think I have to start probably from John 15, 3 through 5, and that's abide in Christ. In John 15, it says the following. It says, let me start at verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you.
Yes.
Remain in me, or abide in me, and I will abide in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the first one. The second verse I want to share is Ephesians 4, verse 14. Starting in verse 14 and 15. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. Then Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, beloved, let me start in 16. He writes this way in all his letters, speaking in them about such matters. Some parts of his letters are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, beloved, since you already know these things, be on your guard so that you will not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure standing. Verse 18, pay attention. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And then the
amen.
Last two scriptures in Acts 17, 28, which is a positional truth we got to understand. Sometimes it's not about doing, it's just about being. And that is, for in him we live and move and have our being. That's Acts 17, 28. And lastly, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers, on accounts of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So, just as a summarization, you have to abide in Christ. Mm-hmm. You have to look at where God is at work and join him, because he's at work. All you got to do is look all around you, everywhere. Mm-hmm. He is at work. Praise and worship God. Mm-hmm. Pray. Be thankful and content for what you have, as opposed to grumbling and complaining for what you don't have. Growing, again, if you're not growing, you're dying. And that is the best way I could possibly answer your question, brother.
Thank you, brother. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit leading you into various scriptures that speak to how believers can crucify the flesh. in answering this question that I put before my brothers as we wrap up episode 27 of the Spoken Verity podcast, my brother has mentioned this, but since this is a personal question and practical steps, I will still talk about that too. I had to crucify my flesh in relationship with my wife, ensuring that there was a certain atmosphere in the house. And not just, I say in the house, like, okay, when we're out of the house, then everything goes, but ensuring that I was loving her as Christ loved the church. Because the first thing the enemy does is trying to point out, oh, she didn't do this. Oh, she didn't do that. Oh, she said this. Oh, she said that. You know, trying to justify it, you know, speaking, blowing that part of my flesh, you know, fanning the embers of that fire, so to speak. So coming under the authority of the Holy Spirit and allowing him, like my brother just said, to lead me to understand what was really taking place here. And I see the change. Another area for me as well is making sure I am conscious of what I am allowing before my eyes. You know, we live in a world today where some of these things are subtle. They come in just in the middle of the show or just even in ads and all that. So I am paying attention to what I put before my eyes and making sure that I am not doing anything to defile the spirit man within me. And another way I crucify my flesh is through godly counsel. I have, as I said in my opening, it was a true statement, two of the most amazing people here with me. It's no surprise that this was God's plan for us when we thought we were just coming together to serve in the church, not knowing years later that he would have us do this and what all of this will turn into. Only he knows, and it was all to his glory. But having that counsel of people that are within you, again, as Brother Wally shared, that they live a certain lifestyle where they share things that you may not have encountered, but it goes into your memory and is stored in your memory bank. So when you come up to it, you know, and this goes across, both of you are far in your businesses, both of you are far in the family life than I am, but watching and paying attention and taking mental notes and having conversations has helped me to continuously crucify my flesh. And in addition to that, of course, is prayer and staying in communication with the Holy Spirit through quiet time. Brothers, before I wrap up our episode officially with my closing monologue, anything y'all want to add regarding the spirit versus the flesh, the battle within?
I do. It's a very short statement. Mm. Where the mind is, the body will follow.
Oh, come on. In other words, what you're saying, brother, right there is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. The Reverend, any closing thoughts before we wrap up the spirit versus the flesh, the battle within?
Yeah, simply remember that this battle has already been won. Your flesh has already been crucified. It was crucified when you received Jesus Christ. You gave up the old man for the new man, which is the eternal life that you have through Jesus Christ. But within that, there's a renewing of your mind that takes place as a part of the crucifying of the flesh, of the old way of doing things, of the old man, of the old sin nature that is attempting to still stay there. Our brother T.D. Jakes said that your spirit's been reborn, but your mind has not been. You have to renew it. You still have to immerse it, soak it, to use your word, in the scripture, and keep that before your eyes and in your ears. And I want to thank you that in humility, you were addressing some scenarios and challenges that you've had within your own life, within your marriage, and how you have seen what Brother Arthur and I have done, and you're allowing that to manifest. Well, I say the same thing about the two of you all. There are things that I see from both of you all that I can say to myself, okay, Holy Spirit, I see you working. I see why, at least in this space, while we're connected. So yes. I just wanted to add that piece for our global TSV audience. And again, to reiterate, this battle between the spirit and flesh is not one that you can be defeated by unless you allow it.
No.
I leave you with that.
Thank you, brother. Again, the Holy Spirit, the way he flows. I don't have a long monologue to close us out. I just want us to focus on Galatians 5:19 and Galatians 5:22. In 19, Paul says, now the works of the flesh. In 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. One is works of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Another is fruit. Fruit meaning it's in you. Mm-hmm. You produce it. The other, like you shared, brother, and we've talked about, you engage, you reach and try to connect with it and try to walk it out and manifest it. So I wanted to make sure that I leave our global listeners with that verity of the Word of God. Before we close episode 27 in prayer, Reverend, give our global audience a preview of what to expect in episode 28.
Episode 28 will be the final installation of the three-part series we have been discoursing, starting in episode 22, where we discuss the skin color division in the church, and episode 25, where the conversation centered on the current doctrinal divisions that's in the church. In this concluding chapter of the series, we will expose the division of denominations, which has no root in scripture and has been the institution where these doctrines of devils have been allowed to flourish. We look forward to you joining us in episode 28.
Awesome. Now let us close episode 27 in prayer. Spirit of the living God, thank you. Thank you for using us to do your work today. We thank you as we have declared by your revelation that the battle is already won. On the cross, Christ said it is finished. We are victorious already. We are just walking out that victory. We thank you for the strength and the counsel you continue to give us. We thank you that we will continue to rest in your truth, because that's all, when it is all said and done, that is what it is, resting in your truth, abiding in your truth, seeking you above the world, above the flesh. Continue to help us to get stronger in you. We thank you, we bless you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God. In love, all the blessings.